We will pause for a few moments of silent prayer, rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Now, Father, as we continue our study, it is our prayer the Holy Spirit will enlighten us regarding what we're about to examine biblically. We lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. By the way, we're not having prayer meeting today for lack of prayers. The doctrine of mental attitude. Definition and description is how we'll crank this off. First of all, mental attitude is the expression of a person's inventory of ideas. It is what he thinks, and thinking is the battlefield of the soul. What do you think? Ever had a teacher ask you that? Joe Griffin, what are you thinking? Nothing, Miss Lamb. There's nothing there. Secondly, the course of one's life is determined by how one thinks and how one decides. I've learned that. How many of you have? You can go back in time to maybe 15, somewhere between 15 and, say, 30 some odd, and evaluate how you thought then. I was not a thinking person. I was not involved in thinking. Thinking was something that I felt I could do later, if ever. What I wanted to do was play. Something round. Something oval. Dependent upon the season. Learning baseball stats. I could, as far as I got in math was learning percentages. And that was so I could figure out baseball averages. I said, how do you get a baseball average, batting average? So they showed me. Said that was it. So the course of one's life is determined by how one thinks and how one decides. But now you're older. What are you thinking and what are you deciding? What motivates your thoughts? What kind of inventory of thoughts do you have? How do you use them? Are they valid? You do the math on that. Those who function on emotion and led by philosophical propaganda think they are wise, but instead they are fools, according to Romans 1:22. A lot of people think they're wise. They're the smartest person in the room. You want to know about anything, come see that person because they know all that is knowable. And they'll tell you, and then they'll begin to tell you their knowledge. Those who function on an inventory of divine viewpoint have divine power based on truth. And we've examined the difference between what is true and what is the world evaluates as truth. What is true? What is truth? A lot of things are true, but truth is truth, and truth is the Word of God, and it can be depended upon, but not in English translations. We try to fix that best we can through exegesis, and then show you expanded translations that hopefully for you enlarge your understanding. But so much of English translations don't really get across what's there. For example, the passage we're noting involving the Lord's engagement with a spiritual, the kind of spiritual sacrifice he was under. His spiritual death involved a lot of things that the other categories of Scripture reveal in the Bible. Yes, we understand the fact that spiritual death had to do with his being judged for our sins. But what else was involved? The fact that he did not in any way receive judgment for human good and evil. Why is that? because the angelic conflict has to be resolved. There's a contest going on to evaluate by God whether or not Lucifer justifies being delivered into the lake of fire. This is an appeal going on. We're involved in this. It's a legal procedure. And there have to be witnesses. Who's going to be witness for the prosecution? The witnesses for the prosecution have to understand that they are involved in a court case, in essence. And to prepare themselves to testify, they have to know what to do. How do I represent Jesus Christ? How do I represent God? How do I represent the prosecution? And so you resolve yourself to be a good soldier for Christ. This is war. Those who function on an inventory of divine viewpoint have divine power based on truth. And the only place to get it is the Word of God. Now, those who have precious little inventory of epinosis have precious little thought or power. You may be saved, but you have no power in this invisible war without the thought that goes along with it. And the thought must come from Bible study, inculcation, retention, and application. Without these things, you are dead on the battlefield, literally, spiritually. The greater the inventory of truth, the greater the divine viewpoint each believer acquires from consistent Bible study. Now, there's some people that go hog wild on this. I've heard of and known people like this. That they listen, I'm using an old term here when I first heard it, they listen to tapes all day long. And they were the colonel's tapes. You are fooling yourself if you listen to his tapes all day long. You're not getting it. You may listen to one tape all day long. That would be better. But a couple of hours ought to do it. You have a life. I've heard of people back in the reel-to-reel days would put a reel-to-reel tape on by their bed and turn it on so they could learn doctrine while they sleep. I've heard of people who have 7 1/2 inches per second reel to reel and a 3 3/4 inches per second. And you can choose which. And they would play it on 3 1/2 so they could learn doctrine faster. So when I tell you, you need to study the Word of God, I'm not talking about nutballs. I'm talking about people who are consistent. The greater the inventory of truth, the greater the divine viewpoint each believer acquires from consistent Bible study. Not nutball Bible study. Who you really are is determined by what you think from doctrine contained in the cardia of your soul. So we'll be looking at some verses as we go through this. You're very familiar, I would believe, with Proverbs 23:7. For as a person thinks within his soul, that's nephesh, so he is. A lot of translations of that verse, by the way, because according to the, the fellows that spend a lot of time in Hebrew, you'll find that if they have a comment on this verse, they'll say it's difficult to translate. But the gist of it is simply this. You can go at it in a couple of different ways because of the structure of the verse, okay? But when you boil it down, what is it really communicating? It's communicating that how a person thinks in his soul, that's how he is. What's the setting for this verse? A person who is hosting someone at, let's say, a meal of some kind. And he is more concerned about how much of his food that the man's going to eat rather than just hosting him for the camaraderie. In other words, when you invite people over to your house, you're going to have a meal, for it, say. And in your mind, what are you thinking? Well, what you're saying to the person, it's just so wonderful that you've come to meet with me and Maureen, have break bread with us. But what are you thinking? Is he going to eat all of the roast? Is he going to eat? How much is he going to eat? So, who is this guy? It's what he thinks, and that's what he's saying. So that is the setting for the verse. You can translate it however you want to, but it boils down to this translation. For as a person thinks within his soul about how much Fred's going to eat, that's who he is. Doctrine in the believer's soul is also found in the mind of Jesus Christ. So as you accumulate information, just think this. What you're thinking now, Jesus Christ thinks. That's what he thought in the incarnation. Because the Word of God is immutable, he's thinking this now. Now I get to think what he's thinking. Therefore, what I'm thinking is solid. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Who has known the mind of the nous of the Lord that we will instruct him? You're not going to instruct him. Who's known anything in the mind of the Lord? Well, it goes on to say we have the mind of Christ, meaning the Scripture. You can find out. You can find out what he knows. You can memorize what he knows. You can even apply what he knows. And you are doing what he would do in this circumstance. You're a soldier for Christ. So in this verse, the word mind is mind and emphasizes the decision-making capacity of Jesus from consulting his omniscience. Therefore, if the Bible is the mind of Christ recorded, his inventory of ideas displayed to us, then the concept is when we acquire that information ourselves, we are plugging into the omniscience of Christ. And it's truth, and it's not going to vary, and we can depend on it. See, that's the magic of it. Who wouldn't want that? Do you know anybody that's really smart? Let's take these guys that know math without numbers. What if I could go to a book somewhere where one of these brains had written down what they know, and I could read it and find out what they know? You're laughing at me now. Some of you are just stifling a laugh. I could read page one until I was blue in the face and never get a comma of it. But you can get the thinking of Christ. Tough room today. The power of thought in the soul and mind of the believer is operational when the problem-solving devices are deployed on the front line of the soul. That's operational truth. You can learn it. Come in here and learn it. Straight face. Squint your eyes. I'm paying close attention. And then walk out the door. Go to your usual haunts the next day. Assaults come in. The usual response. Got artillery. Won't pull the volitional trigger. So an impact of a thought applied or not applied can have a major impact on a believer dependent upon whether it is human viewpoint or divine viewpoint. Look at this. Soul inventory four classes. How do you think? Let's take a look. Have an inventory status classes 1 through 4. We have some categories. Heart or cardia status, that's epinosis. Spiritual life status, whether you are in fellowship, in the bubble or not. Emotional status, do you fly off the handle like I do? It may be divisional and other games. I was talking to Jim over here about how I do that, and he seemed to indicate, not by any verbal response, that maybe he does too. Mostly Rams games. Lifestyle status, moral or immoral degeneracy. There's two kinds of degeneracy. Moral degeneracy is a bad kind. And then there's a Bible passage about that. So I want to show you a chart here where you're going to be able to evaluate your own soul today. As you think in your own soul, how are you? That's the question. So let's go to class one. What's over there in the stream of consciousness, epinosis knowledge, cardia? Weak. Okay, that person's weak. Spiritual life status, out of the bubble a lot. Emotional status, always react and never respond. Lifestyle status, pick your poison, moral or immoral degeneracy. And then there's a passage, and I brought the passage. I thought, let's tell the people about the passages. And this first one is Romans 16, 17 through 18. It reads this way. Now I urge you, brethren, that means fellow believers, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Class two. The cardia is weak. Spiritual life status, weak. Emotional status, respond. So there's establishment integrity here. Establishment viewpoint is a good thing, even for those who are not paying attention to truth. But a lot of people are establishment viewpoint. I pointed out recently that people think if they're good citizens, never been arrested, never done this, that, or the other thing, then they're a believer. In this case, this person is a believer. He's good on establishment viewpoint, but Romans 2, verses 14 and 15. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, that's cardia, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. Okay, class three. What's going on in the cardia? Very strong. Spirit life status is strong, but emotional status react. Comes to Bible class, learns doctrine, got all that down, but then something goes wrong and then an explosion. Lifestyle status, emotional revolt. Therefore, a Bible passage on this is Galatians 4, verse 9. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elements and elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? Galatians 4:9. In other words, you can get out of the trap, but some exigency will engage you. You will have emotional revolt as you react to it, and you go back into the dark side once again when you don't need to. Now, how many in here today are class four? I see no hands. Heart status is strong. Spiritual life status strong. Emotional status, respond. You respond to the exigency rather than react. And then you have Christian integrity is your lifestyle status. And so, Bible passage, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, that's Spirit-filled, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, there are four categories. Oh, sorry. Kaboom. Which way are you trending? You know, no hands, no facial expressions, no self-satisfied. I'm number four, of course. Whatever you are, somebody, everybody is on this board somewhere. I'm not telling where I am, so you don't tell yours. So, to some, an impact of a thought, applied or not applied, can have a major impact on a believer dependent upon whether it is human viewpoint or divine viewpoint. Two verses emphasize this concept. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 is the first. Therefore, let him who thinks, as dikaio, to decide from subjective opinions from human viewpoint. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. And then similarly in Galatians 6:3, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So that's self-evaluation for all of that. You have to do that on your own. Remember, I don't care. Now, he who thinks he stands or thinks he is something is assuming from the cosmic system of arrogance, but is nothing from ignorance. Read that again. I'm borrowing words from our two verses here. 1 Corinthians 10:12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he does not fall. Galatians 6:3, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. He who thinks he stands or thinks he is something is assuming from the cosmic system of arrogance, but is nothing from ignorance. He falls from standing on human viewpoint. Now, these mental attitudes based on human viewpoint indicate opinions developed in the cosmic system, subscribing to Lucifer's policy of human good and evil. So when you see these classes here, classes 1 through 3, at some point, it diminishes as it goes forward, but subscribing to the Luciferian agenda. Now, why is this a Luciferian agenda? He wants people to get away from truth, get away from Bible doctrine, get away from an inventory that is subscribed to by Jesus Christ. Thinking as Christ thinks. That has to be stopped. And so you can participate in this if you don't work your way down to class 4. This is not saying everyone should start at class 4 the moment they're saved. They can't do that. And to avoid Bible study at the very beginning, saying, I don't need church, I'm going to heaven. Yes, you are, but you're chopping cotton on the back 40. What you want to do is be someone who can actually participate in the contest and not be a loser. And so there's a growth process. It's a process. And it ultimately gets to class 4 if you're serious. So we have that. Human viewpoint is the mentality of the believer that has either rejected Bible study or neglected it. Clearly, the thinking of one that is carnal or in reversionism. There's one thing about being carnal, you're just out of fellowship because you had a mental attitude of sin or this, that, or the other. You can confess that immediately. But reversionism is staying out of the system for a good long while, and you're losing the thought that you had accumulated because human good and evil eventually overrides divine viewpoint. So you have to start all over again. Now, Jesus endured the cross in order to eliminate sin as an issue, but allowed human good and evil to remain as the bones of contention for the angelic conflict, and many bones of contention between the two. But divine viewpoint is completely abhorred by the dark side, and they do everything they can to attack it. It's under assault today, divine viewpoint, by the dark side. Now listen to this. As I mentioned earlier, We have so many avenues of communication today. We can communicate around the world in a matter of a second or two. I don't know how they do that. Used to, when you talk to people on the phone in England, we had some friends over there, and they would call, and we would say something, and like 15 minutes later, they'd respond. We thought, oh, well, they hung up. But not anymore. I don't know how they do that. Now, Paul and Mike know how, but I don't know. But you can speak to a person in England now, and they hear it immediately. How do you do that? Sound just travels so fast. The point is that we're really good at communicating. We can communicate to anybody, anywhere, anytime about anything. Jesus endured the cross in order to eliminate sin as an issue, but allowed human good and evil to remain as the bones of contention for the angelic conflict. If we can communicate truth in a moment, the lie can be communicated in a moment. And everybody's communicating the lie now. They're communicating the lie in order to suppress the truth. And they're doing a very good job, and people are buying into it. How can you defend yourself against the lie? You have to know the truth. So this results in carnal and cosmic believers joining the heathen in conflict with God, as noted in James 4:6. So let's look at that verse. This is an expanded translation. God makes war against the arrogant, but he gives grace to the humble. God is going to make war against the arrogant, but he's going to give grace to the humble. The arrogant, those who are in the first three classes. The humble, those who are in class four. 1 Peter 5:5, in the same way, you who are younger members of the congregation, this is speaking here of younger people, not children. Now, you take this congregation here, you can go all the way back to the nursery. But what's being spoken of in this context are people who are younger than others in this congregation. This is an example, okay? So we have people who are young in this room. We have people who are older in the room. Some people who have been here a long time, they're the ones that are supposed to have a lot of doctrine. And therefore are the ones sort of holding things together, so to speak. Because they are the fellows with a lot of doctrine, etc. Okay, you get the context. In the same way, you who are younger members of the congregation, be subject to those in positions of church leadership. That doesn't necessarily mean deacons. It means people in positions of authority because they've earned it over time. And they can be trusted to function within the church on biblical principles. That doesn't mean everybody does this, but they're supposed to. How about that? And all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Okay, can we cook up a contretemps between younger members of the church and older members? Okay, this happens. It happens in any church you go to. And see, the younger members who don't have as much doctrine have a contretemps against the older members who have more. So, what is the resolution between the balance of knowledge involved here, according to this verse? And all of you, young and old, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. The older members that allegedly have more doctrine because they've spent more time in it, they have humility toward the younger members. The younger members who don't have as much doctrine because they haven't been in it long enough, they're working their way to stage four. They're working their way to application. They're to have humility toward the older members. Because God opposes the arrogant but puts grace, or gives grace, to the humble. Everybody is going to receive grace who applies to this concept. Everybody needs to get to the point to where they have humility toward other members of the congregation. Here's why. It ain't worth it to do otherwise. Here's what my attitude is. Once I teach the doctrine, it's up to you to use it or not. You have free will. And so what you do to each other is harming the body. What you don't do to each other, and you say is well justified, is harming the body. That's what this verse is saying. Now let's go back to the point. This results in, got to go to 16. Jesus endured the cross in order to eliminate sin as an issue, but allowed human good and evil to remain as the bones of contention for the angelic conflict. Where would Lucifer like these bones of contention to occur the most? In a church. So that's where we find they occur. Everywhere, every church, every denomination, so on. This results in carnal and cosmic believers joining the heathen in conflict with God, as noted in 1 Peter 5:5. Now, what do heathen do? Regardless of the circumstance, they're going to jaw and sometimes fight with each other. In the same way, you who are younger members of the congregation. Now, his example, this is Peter. His example is this. Apparently, he's noted this. He's saying younger people are prone to get attitude toward the older members of the congregation. It's also possible for the older members to get an attitude toward the younger members. In the same way, you who are younger members of the congregation, be subject to those in positions of church leadership. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the arrogant but gives grace to the humble. So if you want God to grace you, don't get involved in personality conflicts. I tell you, once I say it, I'm done. That's the attitude, really, that everybody needs to take. You got your right to your opinion. Let that be that, and let doctrine take care of the hindmost. It becomes apparent that the difference between the advanced believer and the benighted is their content of thought. Content of thought. That's the whole issue in the invisible war. The whole issue has to do with, can Lucifer distract you from the mission? Can you distract someone else from the mission? Can both of you distract everybody from the mission? That's what I'm after, buddy. What a person thinks will be reflected in what he says, and from that it becomes evident that is in what his inventory contains. So you can smooth people. There are those out there everywhere. We've got politicians that are professional smoozers. Whatever they're saying, they're setting you up for something that they want to do. They're liars, they're cheats, they're grifters and thieves, every last one of them. They're up to something. So there are your pros. If you think you can out-smooth a pro, you just need to get off your high horse. You can't do that. Or go into politics, you could do that. What does the inventory of a person's soul contain when he gets arrogant? Look, whatever you apply, that's who you are. That is in the soul. That's facilitated. That's what you do. You have broadcast who you are. Biblical documentation. We have already noted from Proverbs 23:7 that as a person thinks within his soul, so he is. No one can evaluate his surroundings, the events of his day, or make good decisions with a limited vocabulary. Now, admit the fact that the day you were saved, you were the benighted. Benighted but saved. What have you found out since? You had to come to church and listen to me. If you don't like me, that's not my fault, because I may not be your right pastor. There are others out there. Go find that guy wherever he is. Go there, or get his tapes, or they don't do that anymore. Can't get used to saying, his MP3s or whatever the things are now. Get those. Find the person you can grow under. Do that. Because that's part of the war. Find out your commanding officer. No one can evaluate his surroundings, the events of his day, or make good decisions with a limited vocabulary. Acquisition of divine thought develops a person's character and his integrity. Do you want to be a person of character and integrity, rectitude? Well, then you have to change the way you think. And that's, we'll get to it somewhere. Somewhere we're going to take a look at Romans 12, 2 and 3. Be a person of honor. Be a person of integrity. Be a person who can be depended upon. Be a person who submits to biblical guidance rather than emotional guidance. Be a person in class 4. Those who possess a biblical inventory avoid the critique of Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So quit thinking your thoughts are important thoughts. They are not. So my thoughts are not your thoughts. Who's he talking to? He's talking to somebody who's benighted but doesn't know it. Nor are your ways your ways. Now listen to what that means. This verse establishes the principle that what a benighted person thinks, your thoughts, determines what he does, your ways. Notice what came first, thoughts. Notice what came second, ways, wheel tracks. What are your wheel tracks? What you think. Prior to salvation, a person functions on human viewpoint and develops an inventory of ideas that satisfies his own concepts of right and wrong, good and bad, favorable and negative, and true and false. Get this again. Prior to salvation, what were you? How did you think? What was your inventory? Prior to salvation, a person functions on human viewpoint and develops an inventory of ideas that satisfies his own concepts of what? Of right and wrong. That varies with everybody about what right and wrong is before salvation. If it were not for laws, God knows what would be going on. By the way, we have lost it in this country with regard to interpersonal relationships between men and women. That's not going to play out. Good and bad. We've almost inverted that. Favorable and negative. True and false. Incoming information can alter these polarities so that an opinion may be adjusted to a certain degree or completely reversed. The lady down in Houston is involved in an inversion of thought that has taken place in our society. Now, Maureen can do whatever she wants to do. It doesn't bother me. It shouldn't bother you. Folks voted her in, so they got that. They can vote her out. We don't care what happens in Harris County, which what is what Houston is pretty much Harris County. Don't get upset because you see an inversion of thought. It's the devil's world. It's what I'm trying to tell you. When there's a historical decline in the client nation because there are inversions of thought, it just gives you point-blank information and certification that we're in a historical downtrend and we're going through the cycles of discipline. I don't know how much more evidence you need. So what's our job? Shut up and keep growing. You can't do anything about this woman, but she is involved in an inversion of thought. Now, she can get my tape today, whatever you call it, and she can listen to that, and she'll want my sermon notes. This is not written down. This is right off the cuff, and it's in evidence on the website. Listen to it. Well, my job is to tell you what the Bible says. I didn't make this up. Who knows? We may be involved in this if it wasn't for Bible doctrine. Don't look at folks doing stupid things and say, oh, I never do that. Why would you never do it? You got doctrine telling you not to. Before then, God knows what you would have done. Point is, people are going to use their free will to do what they're led to do by what they think. And you need to get used to that. There's nothing you can do about it except stay the course. I want to read the point again. Incoming information can alter these polarities so that an opinion may be adjusted to a certain degree or completely reversed. This is happening in the schools, as the schools have almost as a required course beginning in kindergarten, sex education in any sex of any description, anytime and anywhere is okay. That's not going to play out over the long haul. But how about it? What initially defines each of these polarities is initial incoming information that is seen or heard. Eye gate, ear gate, combo. Show children something, they'll believe that before they believe anything else except for the ear gate. What initially defines each of these polarities is incoming information that is seen or heard, believed or accepted, and then facilitated into a memory trace that becomes a path of least resistance. How do children evaluate incoming data? They have no barriers against any incoming data. None. Somebody has to protect these things called children. They're a heathen. They have no internal filter, such as the Holy Spirit, to defend their souls. So how is it they can steal your children? They put them in federal schools for 8 to 10 hours a day and propagandize them, and they have no way to distinguish whether it's fair or foul, right or wrong or anything. And what do the parents have to do with this? Well, where are the parents? Do they have parents? How many do they have? Take a look at this. Take the context of moving forward in the plan. You're starting out with John 3:16. Now, you facilitate that pretty quick. If I believe in Christ, I am going to have eternal life and I won't go to hell. That's it. Basic. So that is your initial wheel track. Now, look at Ephesians 2:8 and 9. That is another explanation of the gospel. Put a little bit differently, but a little more information. So what have you got here? You have an association. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 and John 3:16 go together. So you've got an association. Now you've grown in grace. Got a little more info. Then comes Romans 8:1. A little more information. Galatians 4:67, 1 Peter 1:3 through 5, Colossians 3:1 through 4, Psalms 119:105. This is a constellation of information. These are terms we developed when we were studying the brain, neurology. And so from that I drew these words. This we call a wheel track, a concept. So we call that a wheel track, like one concept facilitated. That's the gospel. And then we associate gospel passages with each other so that you have more information about what salvation means. But then you begin to stack other pieces of information on top of that. And so under soteriology, you develop an entire constellation. And when you look, I should have brought one of my old pictures of how neural pathways assemble themselves in the brain. And it's a conglomeration like this, all tangled together, thinking, how is anything understandable coming out of all of that? Well, it knows exactly what it's doing, and you see associations that are beginning to develop here along the way. Now, why did I say this? there is a system by which you grow in grace. You have to start at a starting point. That's the gospel. And you go from there. So this is not easy. This building constellations takes time. There are 11 categories of systematic theology, and ultimately they have to come together as a tapestry. Regardless of the content of any memory trace possessed by an unbeliever, when he expresses faith in Christ for salvation, the real dichotomy begins as human viewpoint comes into instant contact with absolute truth. Now you've got a problem, you're saved. That is the most dangerous time. You're saved, but you know nothing. You're benighted. That's why when you go to one of these shindigs where everybody shows up and Billy Graham gives a gospel message, he thinks that maybe 3 to 5% response is excellent. So the 3 to 5 come down. Counselors meet with them, give them the 4 spiritual laws or whatever. But the thing that they're told you must emphasize to these people, find a church and begin to attend under your pastor. Because if you don't, Lucifer is not going to let you alone very long. By morning, you're under assault. And you're alone. You know nothing. You have no defense. You need a leader. Regardless of the content of any memory trace possessed by an unbeliever, when he expresses faith in Christ for salvation, the real dichotomy begins as human viewpoint comes into instant contact with absolute truth. Now, this is the process. Although unprepared to confront the level of cosmic propaganda that will be presented, under the filling of the Holy Spirit and the willingness to learn, the Spirit will present the system of grace didactics called Operation Z. So it starts here. We just went through it. Pastor teaches. Holy Spirit is one that's going to communicate it over here to the human spirit, down to the soul where the noose considers it as academic understanding. You can say, no, I don't believe that. Yes, I do. It goes over to the cardia and it's retained in long-term memory. That's the process. You do it over and over. You have to do that at Bible class over and over. This transformation is summed up in these 2 verses of the book of Romans. We'll go through this and we'll stop here for the day, but I'm glad we got here today. Here's the process and the challenges associated with it. Romans 12, verses 2 and 3. Stop being molded to this age. Concept here has to do with the evidence that comes in from the devil's world that challenges the soul. Stop being molded to this age, but be transformed by the renovation of your thought. See where it starts? Transformation begins with thought. So that you may prove what the will of God is, namely the good, the well-pleasing, and the complete. The good is your salvation, well-pleasing is the spiritual advance, complete is spiritual maturity. For I say through the grace which has been given to me, to everyone who is among you, stop thinking of self in terms of arrogance beyond what you ought to think, but think in terms of objectivity for the purpose of being rational without illusion. As God has assigned to each one a standard of thinking from doctrine. That's where you've got to get. The renovation. See, people have to renovate when they get outside the bubble and stay there long and you're in reversionism. How do you rectify that? Get back in the system and stay there until you get to the standard of thinking from doctrine which you left. Or as a new believer, which you're advancing toward. Thinking is the issue. It is the issue in the angelic conflict. And doctrine is your resource. And we'll resume at this point on Wednesday evening. Father, we thank you for the challenge today to evaluate our souls regarding how each of us thinks. And may we come away with a good report. And if we don't, challenge to intensify the attack within the conflict in order to become a good soldier for Christ. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Kares human kai rene plethon thai a in epinosai to theu kai iesu to kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Shall we stand as we sing?